The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 a.m. in South Florida, 1080 a.m. in Central Florida, and 1060 a.m. on Florida Space Coast and the Treasure Coast. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates, PA. That's a law firm specializing in community association law and having offices in Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and satellite offices in Tampa, Fort Myers, and Naples. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. We would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all your condo and HOA questions. No matter where in the state you are, give us a call right here in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And Karen, happy Easter to all that are celebrating.
Thank you.
And if you're a fan of the show and you like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas.com and join our email list, because by joining each week, you'll get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, one coming up this week, as a matter of fact, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. Tomorrow's blog topic, many of you have probably seen this in the paper recently, a recent exposé in the Miami Herald finds fraud and self-dealing at our community associations.
Well, imagine that.
But my blog is, why is this suddenly news? You know,
They've been listening to your show.
I know, a show that's been talking about this for many years now, but all of a sudden now it's coming to light. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And the law firm's website, condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com.
So you had a crazy week, I understand.
Got to tell you, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about running your annual meetings and all the things you need to know about running those annual meetings. Well, this week, it was really time to put those theories into practice. I was at an annual meeting on Tuesday night, Wednesday all day, and
what?
Thursday night as well. So you want to talk about a week of running from one meeting to the next? This was that week. And how about this? The one on Wednesday was attended by me and three other people from my office. It involved a massive homeowner association in Kendall, and we started working at noon on Wednesday, and I got home, believe it or not, 5 o'clock in the morning on Thursday.
Wow, oh my God.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was an election for a master association, again, in Kendall, that has nearly 5,500 homes. And to say that there was a lot of work to do would be an understatement. To give you my word, we worked from 12 in the afternoon till 4 in the morning, with a 20-minute break in between. That was it.
Oh, my God.
It was insane.
Yeah, last Sunday we knew you were going to have a monster week, but
Wednesday killed me. Wednesday was unbelievable.
Now, were there still people waiting for the results at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Believe it or not, yes, there was. And there was definitely a handful. I mean, it started out the room with maybe 100 people in it, and towards the end there was maybe 10% of that. But, yeah, there was still people waiting for the results at 4 o'clock in the morning, but by far, this was the hardest election our office ever worked. But I really wished the week ended there, but it didn't.
Well, I understand that the one on Thursday night was a little different than your average annual meeting.
Yeah, it was, Karen, in a Palm Beach HOA. So one minute we're in Kendall, the next minute we're actually in northern Palm Beach County. And in that case, two different sets of people were claiming to be the legitimate board of directors. Both groups were actually making claims to the association's bank that they were entitled to have the association's funds. So the association's, is getting demands from two different sets of people saying they want the money. And the bank didn't know who in the world to allow access to the association's funds. So the bank files a court action in Palm Beach County Circuit Court, and that type of an action is called an interpleader. It's basically where the bank puts up the money in the court registry and lets the parties fight it out over who's rightfully entitled to it.
So how did you get involved in the case?
The judge assigned to the case thought, you know what, this community is in such an uproar that maybe the best way to resolve it is to have a new election.
Okay.
So she appointed me as the receiver for the community, and in effect, the entire board of directors gets removed. I became empowered by the court with all the powers of a typical
wow.
board of directors. So I became,
you get the funds.
I get the, you know, I have access to it, right? So I get, again, total control of the board of directors. So I was like paying the bills and things of that nature. And then I conducted the annual election, and now a new board is seated.
Now, does that happen often where a judge removes a board of directors and appoints a receiver?
No, it's very rare, and the courts actually use this receivership very sparingly. But it's an interesting experience, to say the least. And in addition to the Miami Herald articles we were just talking about, there's been some really bad press about receivers in the Miami Herald the past 2 weeks. But if you look at those articles are basically talking about when a court appoints receivers to come in and like fix up the abandoned units and rent them out for a fee. Now, that's a different type of receivership that what I'm talking about, where I was appointed okay. to be the board, and it really has nothing to do with the case where, like, I was appointed as the receiver. I was appointed as a receiver to, in effect, be the board of directors, not fix up units and rent
them
out.
Right.
But I'll say this about the Miami Herald's article. They're right. They got it right on the money. I can tell you, I've been involved in cases where a judge allows a receiver to come in and fix up units for the association, and, of course, the receiver charges exorbitant fees to fix up the place. They charge exorbitant fees to rent out the property. And by the way, who gets hired by the receiver to fix up the place? The receiver's uncle, brother, cousin, wife, husband. Yeah, on and on and on. Never forget
wow.
the last one I went to where I argued that the receivership should be terminated. The receiver comes in looking like Tony Montana from Scarface.
Oh, my God.
Jewelry dripping everywhere, you know, button-down shirt. And the judge is like, where'd all the money for this place go? And it turns out it went to the receiver's companies and relatives' companies and things of that nature, and it couldn't be accounted for. But those types of receiverships, yeah, the Herald is right. You got to be very careful about those type of receiverships. But the ones that do work are the ones where the court removes a board of directors and actually appoints someone with some experience who can manage the board of directors. How about this? We take first call and we go to Scott in Sunrise. How are you, Scott?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And my question is this: if someone under the age of 55 and inherits a apartment in a senior citizen community from the owner, can that person live immediately in that apartment, even though the person is under the age of 55, would be
no.
forced to sell it? Or
absolutely no. No, that does not mean that automatically they get a right to live in it. As a matter of fact, you got to be very careful in a 55 and over community. And as long as you touched on the topic, let's talk about some basics of a 55 and over community. A lot of associations have in their documents, they were created a long time ago, that can't have children living in the community. So basically that's been held by the Florida Fair Housing Act and the Federal Fair Housing Act to be illegal. It's discrimination based on familial status. So the exception to that, where you can discriminate against children, is one of the ways is if you're a legitimate 55 and over community. So what does it mean to be a 55 and over community? It means that at least one occupant in the unit has to be age 55 or over. It does not mean that the person owning the unit has to be 55 years of age. It just means the person owning it could be 18, 19, so it doesn't matter. The age of the owner is irrelevant. The important thing here is that the occupant, one of the occupants, have to be 55 or over. And that still applies, even if there's an inheritance situation. So if you wind up inheriting a 55 and over unit, bottom line is that you can sell it, but you got to sell it to someone who's going to occupy it, at least one of those persons being age 55 and over. And while we're still on the topic, we'll just talk about one more important thing that a lot of 55 and over communities forget about, and it could potentially be the death knell of that 55 and over community. The law requires that in a 55 and over community, every 2 years, the 55 and over community takes what is called reliable surveys to determine that every unit is occupied by at least one person age 55 or over. And you can do that by getting copies of driver's licenses, passports, birth certificates. But if you fail to take those reliable surveys at least once every 2 years, there's a case out there from the Southern District of Florida that says, guess what? You're no longer a 55 and over community, and now you actually have to take children in.
Yeah, and the boards in my community have never done that. They've promised to do that once in a while. The problem is I know a lot of the units where I live, the owners, you know, passed away, and now the units are occupied by people who are definitely under the age of 55. Some of them are under the age of 30. Okay?
Well, a unit can be occupied by... Wait, hold on, Scott.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just let me say one thing. Someone under 55 can live in the unit. There's a 30-year-old can live in the unit if also living with that 30-year-old is someone age 55 or older.
No, I understood what you said. That's not the case. That's not the case.
Gotcha.
Where I live.
Then guess what? Your community
symbol, the logo for my community should be a young person out walking a dog.
Really?
Okay.
Wow. Well, then guess what?
Allowed.
You're not a 55
not
and over
either. So I'm. I just want to get clarified on that. So it doesn't matter who the owner is, as long as one person over the age of 55 is living in that.
Right,
in
and that, we'll clarify one more thing before we actually go to a break. A lot of associations get confused on what's called like the 80-20 rule. A lot of associations think that once they get let's preface it this way. The law says that you become a 55 and over community when at least 80% of the units are occupied by someone age 55 and over. Now, a lot of communities are incorrect, and they think that, okay, when they get to, let's say, 90% and someone comes in, a couple in their 30s and want to move in, they have to let them in because even if we let them occupy it, we're still above 80%. That's not how it works, okay? That 80% number is simply a threshold number to qualify as a 55 and over community. You must be at 80%. It does not mean that once you get above 80%, you now have to start allowing units not to be occupied by someone age 55 or over. Okay? You can be at 100%. You can require that every unit is occupied by someone at least age 55 or over.
And that applies even in a community where rentals are allowed?
That's correct. Absolutely. The persons renting the unit have to be 55 as well. At least one person. Correct.
Right. But
okay.
Thank you. Very helpful. I appreciate
you got it.
It.
Okay, Scott. Thank you so much. How about this? We got Gail from Fort Myers. I'm going to ask you to hold, Gail. We're going to go to our first break of the hour. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest steel coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Good morning. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 AM in South Florida, 1080 AM in Central Florida, and 1060 AM on Florida's Space Coast and the Treasure Coast. That's basically Orlando and Melbourne. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. He is a lawyer with a law firm specializing in community association law. So if you want some free advice, give him a call right here at 877-850-8585. It's election season, 877-850-8585.
And we've been concentrating on that, that's for sure. And by the way, we're smack dab in the middle of election season for both condos and HOAs. And remember, if you don't get certified either 1 year before becoming a board member or within 90 days after becoming a board member, you're gone. You're automatically off the board. And one way of getting certified is by attending our popular Condo Craze board certification course that has now certified over 11,000 Floridians.
And we have free classes for everyone coming up quickly. The space is filling up fast. Here are our next events.
This Wednesday,
woo-hoo!
I get to see, we have so many people signed up for this Wednesday's class. March 30th, 8:30 a.m., the Palm Beach Convention Center at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo. I'm telling you, it's going to be mobbed. The L&L people put on a great event. There's going to be a lot of vendors there. Lots of other classes in addition to mine. So show up early. We have about 200 people registered already for Wednesday's class. Should be a lot of fun. Again, Palm Beach Convention Center this Wednesday, 8:30. After that, April 20th, 8:30 a.m. at the Tampa Bay Convention Center.
Then May 1st, back to the Hard Rock in Hollywood. We're going to do our live radio show and Day of Education.
That is always fun. Love doing the live radio show with everybody, with a packed studio audience. It's great. And board members, don't get certified by signing that ridiculous affidavit. Come learn something at a class for a few hours. It's fun. It's educational. You're going to be with peers in a great environment. But I'm telling you, as Karen said, these seminars fill up fast. Don't get shut out. And take the class with your manager if you can, because managers get legal update credits and human resource credits as well.
And registration is easy enough. Just go to CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com or just download the CondoCraze app on your iPhone or Android device and click on the Register for Our Seminars tab.
All right. Look forward to seeing everybody at all of our events. And how about we go to Gail in Fort Myers. How are you, Gail?
Hi.
How can we help?
Oh, I love your show. Thank you so much.
I just want
to give you a little background. I had a pipe break in our condo unit from the fire protection system, which caused a lot of flooding in our unit. I immediately called the management company. It was just a trickle at that time, requesting they turn off the water to the system. The CAM didn't even know where the shutoff valve was, and he refused to turn off the water, saying it was against the fire code and that it would turn off all the units in the building. But I explained that it would only turn off the three units on our floor, told him where the shutoff valve was, and told him that according to the fire code, you have 4 hours to turn off the water. And after 4 hours, you have to have a fire watch. He still refused to turn off the water. It took 2.5 hours for the fire protection company to fix the problem and turn off the water. And by that time, our our unit had substantial water damage. We had to make a couple trips here. We were not home at the time, and we had expenses along with our $1,000 deductible. And I checked with the fire captain of the district, and he assured me that the information I gave was correct. So my question is, is this negligence, and what responsibility does the management and the company and the association have for this? And do I have any recourse for them to at least pay my $1,000 deductible to me because, you know, they refuse to do their due diligence of taking care of the and turning it off?
Gail, so, I love this phone call.
That is my question. Thank you so much.
Okay, love this phone call. Why? Because we get phone calls all the time about the typical pipe breaking in the wall, and my common answer is always, without being able to prove negligence, sorry, you don't get a dime against the association for damages to your personal property or to your unit. They only have to repair the common elements, and what happened to your unit is your problem. The exception to that is when you can prove negligence. For example, they fail to take care of the pipes, they fail to service the pipes properly, or, and you're going to love the next part, or when they had the ability to stop and prevent the further flooding, and they didn't do it. And it seems like in your case, they had the ability to prevent actually massive flooding to your unit by simply turning off the water. You were telling them to do it, they had the ability to do it, or they should have had the ability to do it, and they didn't do it, and they continued to allow the water to pour into your unit. You know what that sounds like to me? Negligence.
Right. So that's because what I think. Thank
absolutely.
You.
So because they are negligent, all that stuff about the boards not being responsible for the damage to your unit, that goes out the window, and they are now on the hook if they had the ability to turn off the water and they didn't. So I think you have a great case, quite frankly. Okay? And yes, you should be able to get damages to your unit. No question about it.
Who would be responsible? The board or the association?
Well,
and would I need to retain an attorney?
You could potentially sue both and let those two figure it out as to who's responsible. You know, there may be a contract between, I'm sure there is a contract between the association and the manager, where the association may have to indemnify the manager for negligence. So in the end, it may come down to your association paying the damages to your unit or their carrier paying the damages to your unit. But someone's going to pay for it. That's the bottom line.
And you also had to make trips.
We did have insurance pay for, you know, a lot of it. But all I really want them to do now, nobody even apologized or anything. It was very sad.
She wants an apology in a condo.
And I'm trying to get them to take ownership and at least pay my deductible. And I don't think that's too much. And I just wanted to get your opinion.
If they can get out of this by paying, what do you have, $1,000 deductible?
Yes.
Yeah, and how much were the total damages to your unit?
Oh, gosh. See, this was, it'll be 2 years in August, so I know we're getting close. I would say probably 20-something, 30.
If the association gets out of this by only paying you your $1,000 deductible, they should give you the check with a thank you note.
But she had to make trips down here, too.
I think so, too. Is it worth it, though? Would I need to retain an attorney?
See if you can do it on your own, and if not, maybe you're going to need an attorney to write a letter for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
I really appreciate
it. You got it.
And you have a wonderful show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, how about we go to David in Tampa. How are you, David? David from Tampa, you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you, Dave? How can we help?
Great, Eric. Thank you. My question is on security or the advertising of security when it might not really be that. I'm an HOA. We are not the gated community. We do not have private police, but we've been for several years paying one person to act as a role of security to do patrols a couple times a day and check the common areas, that kind of thing. Recently, a new LCAM we hired said there's been some cases, some lawsuits that you shouldn't be doing that because you could be liable. Do you have any input on that?
No, I don't think you could be liable for negligence if you have, a patrol of some kind. You know, I don't know, the Trayvon Martin case, I think the community, Zimmerman was involved in something like that as
right.
well. You know, communities sometimes have, you know, where people volunteer and do some security, but the question is, you know, would that be enough? For example, I just took in a case in Orlando and this was on the news, an amazing video, where a community had, you know, entrance gates that go, you know, into the community and exit the community. Well, in our case, and again, this was all over the news in Orlando, a woman who lived there, unfortunately, was carjacked at gunpoint, and I have the whole thing on video. Why? Because notwithstanding the fact that there were gates there, the association allowed the gates to remain broken, from what I understand, for weeks and months on end. So anybody was, you know, allowed to come in. But your community doesn't have any gates. It never had gates. So really, you know, you're doing all you can. Now, for example, if you knew that there was a tremendous amount of crime in the community, or perhaps even around the surrounding community, the board may have some sort of an obligation to at least make an effort to put up a gate, or to have security that you pay for, you know, security guards on the premises. But, you know, to me, the question would be, what does the board know, or what should they know in terms of crime in the community or the surrounding area? If they know it's a very dangerous community, and you have to look at the bylaws, I can tell you, the bylaws may sometimes even put an obligation or the authority to obtain security in your bylaws. So I'd want to see what those say. What type of responsibility does the board have to provide security? But even if it's silent, they may have some security if the situation at the community becomes so dangerous that security is warranted. Did they at least make an effort? Did they get bids from security companies? Did they discuss it with the community? What was the community's thoughts? If there's crime, I don't think it should go ignored, because then potentially the association could be negligent.
But the associate the manager I'm talking about has said that recently lawyers are trending away from using the word security in the contracts. Is there anything you're aware of?
No, I'd like to see that, you know, any case that they're talking about. The bottom line to me is it's still a negligence standard. If the board knew that there are crimes in the community taking place at the condo, at the HOA, and they're simply doing nothing to prevent crime in that community, then to me it's still a negligence standard, and the association is going to be on the hook if they knew about it and did nothing to prevent it. Okay?
Yeah, no, it's not like that kind of case. It's more of a, if we have signs up that say, you know, security cameras are monitoring this particular common area, but in fact the cameras are only monitored like a home security system where you can rewind. We don't have.
Doesn't seem to me that the association is doing anything wrong then. Not at all.
Okay?
Thanks for the call, Dave. All right, let's do this. Still taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak to our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations. We are a clear leader in the marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about Mack, Mack & Waltz and how they can save you money and improve insurance programs, call 954-640-6225. Ask Greg Waltz, one of the owners, at extension 141 or extension 149. Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group, let us protect your association.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo, and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 AM in South Florida, 1080 AM in Central Florida, and 1060 AM on Florida's Space Coast and the Treasure Coast. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. He's taking your phone calls and giving you free advice on anything condo, HOA related, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. If you have a product or service that our Condo Craze and HOA's listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of our Condo Craze and HOA's radio show? You can have a commercial during the show, have display tables at all of our live events that we do throughout the state, get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members. Your company's logo and website will be posted on the Condo Craze website and on our email blasts that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send out to tens of thousands of community associations all around the state. To find out more, just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com.
And all of those sponsors will be at our May 1st event at the Hard Rock. You know, I have something I want to talk about that actually wasn't scripted for today, but I think, you know, things have a way of happening and coming up. I think it's pretty important that we talk about. Just coincidentally, yesterday was the first day I jumped into the pool in the house. You know, first
degrees,
day of the season.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. So, you know, enjoyed the pool. And coincidentally, last night, I get an email from a client, and the client is a condo association, saying that their electrician in the community said, you know, they're not sure if the pool is grounded properly. What do I think? And I wrote back,
holy
you know,
moly.
Get out of the pool now, close down the pool immediately, and I think I answered something like, I have a personal story in that regard, and I'll tell you why. So, considering, I guess, it looks like the weather is hot again, and people are going to really start using the pool like crazy, now is probably a good time to at least talk about what happened last year. So, some of you may actually know the story, some of you may not, but I think it's important that we talk about it again. Why? Because the weather's heating up, and everybody's going to be using their swimming pools. About a year ago, in my home, the pool pump breaks. Karen, you certainly know this story. Pool pump breaks, and the pool guy says to me, you know, the guy that typically cleans the pool, says, hey, Mr. Glazer, your pool pump is broke. What do you want me to do? I'm like, replace it. Fix it. You know, okay, no problem. Yeah, I can do it. No problem.
Oh, boy.
And so he replaces the pool pump. And a couple of days later, of course, I'll never forget it, I'm at work, and my wife calls me at work, and she says, I got a weird thing to tell you. I said, okay, what? She says, the kids are in the pool, and all of a sudden they're yelling at each other, ow, do you feel that? Ow,
oh, no,
ow, ow,
God.
Do you feel that? You know, Jamie's yelling at Brandon, Brandon's yelling at Jamie, ow, and my wife starts yelling at him, get out of the pool now. So she calls me up and says that, you know, tells me what happened. I'm like freaked out by it. So I call an electrician that I know, and I say, do me a favor, meet me down there. It's from Elkon Electric Company. Do me a favor, meet me by the house. And I meet him by the front door of my house right then and there, and we walk to the backyard. And to make a long story short, we walk by the pool pump, and the guy that I was with, the you know licensed electrician, the guy froze, literally froze. And he says, did you replace your pool pump recently? I'm like, yeah. He says, well, why is your ground wire not attached to the to the pump, and why is it over there?
It could totally have killed them.
And
we had a kid that was killed.
Let me tell you, all my electrical outlets are burned out.
Oh,
they're black.
God.
and he's pointing it out to me, and I'm frozen. I mean, I can't move. I'm frozen. And the guy looks at me and says, your kids were getting electrocuted in the pool.
Mm.
Okay? Thank God it wasn't a major jolt, but, yeah, there was electricity flowing into your pool. So, long story short, the pool pump itself was installed incorrectly. It had shorted out, and that was causing the current to go into the pool. But in addition to that, I did not have, like, the appropriate outlets and that were supposed to be outside, you know, GFI grounded outlets. So to make a long story short, we completely did the pool over. They now make things where you put like a little probe into the water pipe itself, and if the probe feels any electricity running through the pipe, it shuts down the pump automatically. Right. So they can't be, and maybe three or four other safety mechanisms that were also installed, and new outlets and things of that nature. But the bottom line is, I can't stress it enough, take it from someone who, you know, thank God.
Close call.
But don't fool around with your swimming pool. If you think there might be any type of repair that's necessary that involves electricity, do not have your pool guy do it. It requires a licensed electrician. Don't fool around. Do it the right way. And if you have any thoughts, even for a second, that your pool is not operating properly. And there's a million ways that, by the way, not just my way.
Yeah, the kid that died, it was the light.
The light could be installed incorrectly.
The light
there's
was bad.
Actually supposed to be wires around your pool that also supposed to ground your pool properly. And if that's not done, that can also cause the water to become electrified. So don't fool around when it comes to your swimming pool, everybody out there. Have it looked at by a licensed electrician, okay? Or the results can be, quite frankly, catastrophic.
Definitely.
Okay, how about we go to Ed? Question about selective enforcement. How are you, Ed?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm on the board of a homeowner association, and in our documents it says that we are supposed to get leases from owners who are going to rent their units, and we haven't been enforcing that. Recently, we had a resident who was a renter and causing a nuisance with his or her dog, and got some complaints from the neighbors. So we wanted to send a notice to the owner and the resident, but it turns out we didn't have the name of the resident. So we asked our management company to get a copy of the lease from the owner. And the management company objected, saying we never enforced this part of our documents before, and we would have to send a notice to all owners that might be renting their units that we're now going to start enforcing this part of our documents. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think your manager
get that.
I think your manager makes a great point. Really, truck went up for your manager in this regard. If you haven't been enforcing it, I think it would be selective enforcement to go over to one unit owner and say, I want a copy of the lease between you and your tenant, and you know, to just do it to one owner and not everybody else who's renting. But I think, respectfully, the more important issue is, what are you going to do about the dog that's creating a nuisance in the community? Just because you don't have a copy of the lease doesn't mean that that owner and that tenant get the right to violate your governing documents regarding the dog. You can demand to know from the owner, yes, who the tenant is, but you can also wind up suing the owner for failing to control the tenant and having a dangerous condition. If the dog is dangerous or is out of control, you can sue the owner for that as well. So, you know, just don't think that just because you haven't enforced the lease provisions previously in the past, that dog now gets to do whatever the dog wants to do. You can still go after the owner and still go after the tenant even without a copy of that lease. But,
okay.
Yeah, your manager is right. Your manager is right. If you're going to ask for a copy of the lease, if everybody that you know is renting should get the same letter that says, we want a copy of your lease now, period. I agree with your manager in that regard.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Ed. Let's do this. Let's take a break. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Has a flood or other disaster struck your community? Is your association in need of water and fire damage cleanup, floor care, commercial cleaning? Then call the company with nearly 70 years' experience. Call ServiceMaster Remediation 24/7. Service Master Remediation 24-7 cleans upholstery, tile and grout, marble, vinyl, and linoleum floors, even wood. If your association has suffered damage as a result of fire, call Service Master Remediation 24-7 for help with fire damage restoration, complete structural cleaning, duct cleaning, smoke and odor removal, and more. Call Service Master Remediation 24-7 if your association needs help with water damage restoration, water extraction, structural drying, floor drying, carpet cleaning, mold remediation, and odor and stain removal. A team of trained, caring, and professional water damage technicians will be on site quickly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When a disaster happens, call the regional company with the national response team. Call Service Master Remediation 24-7.
1-866-969-6653. 1-866-969-6653.
Or visit ServiceMaster247.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 AM South Florida, 1080 AM Central Florida. We just had a call from Castleberry near Altamont Springs and 1060 AM on Florida's Space Coast and the Treasure Coast. Don't wait until the end of the show. Last week we left a bunch of stuff on the table. A lot of callers. Who's calling it about 11:57.
Yeah, everybody gets brave with 2 minutes to go on the show.
Now.
Call now.
Get your free advice now. The number is easy, 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. Right. Eric can answer it.
Linda is brave. Linda from Lake Worth. How are you, Linda?
I'm fine, thank you.
How can
I
help?
I'm also a 5-times attendee at your board member course.
That's amazing.
You know what? That's a question you need to ask on May 1st and give an award for how many people have been there multiple times and how many times have they been there, because Linda would get
Hey, Linda, if you've been there.
Oh, good. Then you'll win.
If you've attended 5 times, I take it that you enjoy it, obviously. Do you feel like you learn something each time new comes up?
Absolutely. And that's why I go. I love learning.
Are you on the board?
I had been, but I've taken a 1-year break, but now I'm seeking re-election again.
She took my course and learned that it's better to not be on the board, apparently.
And it's a free course. I mean, so why not?
Why not do it? Well, glad to have you.
It's
I appreciate
good food
the honor.
Right? It is good food.
How can we help, Linda?
Well, actually, I had my own question, but I had a follow-up to a question a previous person asked you. My question is this. I have been a board member. I'm off the board now. I'm seeking re-election, and I put out a flyer with my credentials, and our current sitting board vice president put out a flyer. Well, people are calling it slanderous regarding my credentials. I just think it's negative, and I don't know why she seems to be afraid of only me. There's 8 people running for 4 seats, and 7 are men, and I'm the only female.
Okay.
But nonetheless, is she allowed to put out a handout door-to-door slander?
Let me ask you this. Is this condo or HOA?
Derogatory.
Well, is it a condo or an HOA?
It's a condo.
Okay. So really, I mean, what you guys should be doing is when whoever did the election, remember we spent like so much time talking about the candidate information sheets. Did you submit one of those candidate information sheets?
Yes.
And did those go out? Did they get mailed to everybody?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. So you're now saying in addition to that, there's materials being distributed?
Yes.
Okay. Any rules and regulations in your condominium that prohibit, you know, solicitations, things of that nature?
Not to my knowledge, and I'm here 7 years.
Okay. So
that
aside, I don't, you know, let's just assume for a second that, you know, that's not the issue, that it's allowed, that you can campaign, that you certainly have free speech rights. You know, unless the information that someone's distributing is truly derogatory in terms of being slanderous, saying someone stole money while a board member, you know, someone has a prior criminal record when they really don't have one. You can campaign in a condominium and utilize your First Amendment rights. I mean, that's, you know, this is America, and your First Amendment rights don't stop when you walk in the front door of the condo association. You can stand up at a meeting. You can criticize your opponent. I mean, these condo elections, you know, are nasty, nasty elections sometimes. But there's nothing wrong with speaking your minds, criticizing a prior administration, as long as your words don't cross the line and become slanderous. Like I said, accusing somebody of a crime, you know, things of that nature. Then I think it's perfectly fine. I think anything basically goes.
Well, the negative statement starts off with Linda the liar,
like Lion's Head,
like Lion's Head, right? Right. Is somebody calling you a liar?
I thought it was funny, but they're offended.
Do I think that reaches the level of the ability to file a slander lawsuit? No, it doesn't. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's what it's.
My second follow-up was with security. We had been paying somebody with a 1099 to do security, and our CAN said that's not allowed anymore.
You can't pay anybody with a 1099 with security? Why not? Why did the CAM say that?
I don't know.
Is the person licensed to do security? Are they acting as a security guard with a security guard license?
Oh, I don't know. She was a security guard in a bank.
I'd want to know if they're licensed, because in Florida, in order to actually get paid as a security guard, you have to have a license. I forgot the type of license that it's called. One of our listeners might know and actually call in with the number. But there's a certain license that are required for a security guard in Florida, and if they don't have it, no, they shouldn't be getting paid. Okay?
Could
and
they call it a safety officer?
I'm sorry?
Could it be called a safety officer position?
No, not if they're getting paid. No, they're getting paid to do security,
okay.
Then no, they should be licensed. They should be insured, so if they screw up and fall asleep and while someone winds up getting attacked on the property, you know, you want a policy to perhaps go after for negligence. So I'm not in favor of just paying somebody who's not licensed and there's no company and there's no insurance to get paid to walk around the community.
But fortunately, we have very low crime where we are.
Well, that's a good thing, but it doesn't mean that you hire an unlicensed person to actually do the security.
No. Okay.
Okay? Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'll see you May 1st.
Okay. Bye. How about we go to Jerry in Pembroke Pines? How are you, Jerry?
I'm just fine. Thank you. And yourself?
Okay. How can we help?
Okay. Well, first of all, can anybody attend your classes, or do you have to be on a member of the board?
No, anybody can attend. A lot of people that want to attend the classes or attend the classes want to become board members. By the way, Brian just sent me a text that a security guard needs a Class D license.
Okay.
It's called the Class D security license. Thank you, Brian.
How long is your certificate good for once you attend the class?
Okay, this is how it works.
Okay.
If the class is good for, it's good for 1 year before you become on the board,
okay,
or 90 days thereafter you got to get certified. So a lot of people take it within a year for the board.
Okay, this is my question.
Yeah.
Article Roman numeral 7, section 24 of our documents say, parking spaces, ownership of each lot shall entitle the owner or owners thereof to the use of two automobile parking spaces, which shall be as near and as convenient to said lot as reasonably possible, together with the right of ingress and egress in and upon said parking area. The association shall permanently assign two vehicles to each parking space, for each parking spaces for each lot. So my question is, we recently received two stickers in the mail, two decals. Now they're saying only residents can park in a reserved spot, meaning if I have a guest come over and he parks in my spot, they're going to tow the car away immediately.
The way, you know, and the way I understood it from you reading it quickly is that you have you specifically, I think, said the right to use three spots. So, you know,
it says ownership of each lot shall entitle the owner or owners thereof to the use of two automobile parking spaces.
Use. You know, I don't think that, and I guess it would be boiled down to a question of reasonableness. You have the right to use them, but that means that you have the right to use them. It does not mean that third parties have the right to use them. That's what it boils down to. And the question would be, at least to me, what type of a reasonable rule or regulation could the board come up with? What kind of reason would they indicate as to why you shouldn't be allowed to have your guests utilize that space, as long as it's okay with you? Doesn't seem
correct
to make, you know, much,
I've
much sense.
I've lived here 31
years,
and there's never been an issue like this.
Right, but this is the rule that they want to enforce.
Well, we recently, they had an election. I don't know. I guess every HOA has an election in January or February, and
right.
I guess there's been a shift.
Right. I think a literal reading, if you're going to read it literally, then to me it says that, you know, you have the right to use it. It doesn't mean that anybody else but you have the right to use it. So you have the right to put, you know, your cars in there, but it doesn't mean that other people have a right to put their cars there. So I can't say that they're interpreting it incorrectly unless I'm shown an arbitration case that says otherwise. Might not be
okay.
The answer you want to hear, Jerry, but is it a reasonable interpretation of their documents? I think so. Would a court uphold it as being reasonable? Probably so, because a court wouldn't go down that route.
Okay, and I've got real quick.
We got about 10 seconds, yeah.
As far as visitor spots go, for 70 units, we have 6 guest spots.
Right.
And you're not allowed to park along the roads either, obviously.
Right.
So it's really hard.
Does it make that?
Wow,
yeah.
Only 6?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, you're dealing with communities that were built, you know, 50, 60 years
79
ago.
79 it was built.
Yeah, you know, but
wow.
And when not every family had 3 cars, you know.
No guests for you.
Right. So, again, you'd have to show that the board's interpretation of that provision is somehow unreasonable. And I think, unfortunately, in this particular situation, it's going to be tough for you to prove that. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Well, sorry, Jerry.
Much.
Okay. All right. Taking your calls, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Association Services of Florida, or Associa, has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years. As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Our own mission statement says it best, providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide. We back up that statement with our superior senior management, all of whom have many years of experience personally managing communities and who provide expert support to the management, staff, and to our association's board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And view our website at associaflorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry. Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Well, we're done on this Easter Sunday with Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 AM South Florida, 1080 AM Central Florida, and 1060 AM on Florida's Space Coast and the Treasure Coast. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates.
Yeah, we had a busy list of items we were supposed to cover today, but the phones kept us busy from the second we actually went on the air. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about next week, should the phones not be so nuts. Next week we'll talk about, again, why an attorney is absolutely necessary at your annual meetings. Again, our firm really doubled down on that this year. because of a change that the Florida Supreme Court came out with saying what managers can and cannot do because they don't have a law license. And you'll see why, again, we think it's important to have your attorney there, because there's a ton of legal decisions that have to be made at all of these meetings. And, you know, what about the cost of if your manager gets it wrong and, you know, winds up being done incorrectly and you have to start the process all over again, your annual election? We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. And, you know, we'll actually talk about that next week. And also why it might be risky for managers to actually go to the annual meeting and run it all on their own without having an attorney helping them run the election and perform certain tasks. Because why at those elections, as you'll see, lots of legal answers are required. There's lots of statutes that have to be looked at, the administrative code, your governing documents. And again, Florida Supreme Court now says that all requires a law license. And, you know, it's funny. They say I'm trying to create business by recommending attorneys at these meetings. No, if I wanted to create business, I'd say don't have one.
You have
screw
a
it up and then call me. All right, everybody have a great week, and thanks for tuning in to Condo Craze and HOAs. We'll see you next Sunday at 11.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
I've seen you around for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I remembered you when you drank.